It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss. Lightning Thursday is brought to you by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.
Good morning. Lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes, and it's on your radio. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com with us in the studio this morning. Bill, before we get started on the Lightning, let's give some traffic updates. We got another update on I-26. So first of all, earlier this morning, we had an accident on I-26 West. At exit 37, that's the Long Shoals Road exit. Traffic is backed up, probably backed up all the way to here by now. So if you're headed that way, avoid I-26. We now have a report of an accident on I-26 East at exit 33. That's in Buncombe County. That's at Brevard Road, NC 191. All right, so that's up in Buncombe County. But again, coming this way from Asheville, you got a mess right there. So I-26 East and West at various locations are parking lots this morning. So please be wary of your travels on I-26. All right, Bill, thank goodness you didn't have to take I-26 to get here this morning.
You know what moves a lot faster than traffic on I-26, don't you, Mark?
What's that?
The Hendersonville Lightning.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And again, Lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes. Let's get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning, Bill. Let's start. Let's finish. Let's take care of some. Speaking of unfinished business, let's talk a little bit more about some of the effects of the election this past week. Steve Carricker lost his position on the Hendersonville City Council. You got a headline here. Carricker regrets leaving unfinished projects that he pushed for on City Council.
Yeah, it's very true. And some very prominent, very visible projects really have, along with others, he'd be the first to say, the fingerprints of Steve Carricker, who was seeking unsuccessfully at the end of the election night a fourth term on the Hendersonville City Council. And as is almost always the case, only in the Lightning do we kind of retrace Steve's record with the city that goes back to the mid-aughts and the big fight over the tall buildings, which we did a big feature on back in the spring. He kind of rode that, really almost not on purpose, but because he was chair of the Hendersonville Historic Preservation Commission when the Sunflower, later Carolina Grand, 10 or 11 story high-rise condo there on 2nd Avenue was proposed for downtown, created this huge uprising against it, and he did end up riding that to a seat on the Hendersonville City Council, and has been, I think anybody, any fair, neutral, independent analysis of his time there would say he was a real valuable member. Because of his construction knowledge, he was a plumber and then a plumbing contractor, had been a building inspector. I was always impressed with his deep knowledge and his ability to articulate some sometimes complex, you know, technical construction stuff, whether it was building Fire Station 2 or road projects, and certainly anything having to do with water. And he was really crucial in explaining the city's role and explaining how water worked, because he knew how water flowed. He knew everything there was about water and sewer, and thus was real valuable to the council because we have all this discussion about water extension.
Right. Water's been a huge topic.
And involvement with the county and debate over rate parity and who gets to decide where water goes and can the city control development because it controls the water extensions. But the readers can read all about that and can read another element of it that there's been some grumbling about now, and that's whether the city election was taken into the partisan arena this time, because a successful candidate, Lindsey Simpson, the second highest vote getter, a Democrat, did get help, accepted help, she admits to that, when it was offered, from this organization, kind of a subchapter of the Democratic Party, of the Progressive Democratic Women, in terms of text, social media, and so on, to help get out the vote for Lindsey. nothing illegal about it. But some of the Republicans, at least on the council, which include a character, does include the leading vote getter. So you can't say that this was by itself something that swung the election overwhelmingly for Ms. Simpson, because Jennifer Inslee was a leading vote getter by a small amount. And so that leaves a council of two Democrats, which is Jeff Miller and now Ms. Inslee, and I'm sorry, two Republicans. I think I said Democrats. That would have been wrong.
Right.
And then Barbara Volk, a Democrat, and Ms. Simpson, a Democrat, and Jerry Smith, an independent.
But it's a nonpartisan.
It's nonpartisan, so I just said what party they were because it has now become an issue, and we publish what party they are when there is an issue. So that happened in the city election, and there's some grumbling about, well, was that a good idea? Because Jennifer Inslee says, I could have had the Republican Party machinery help me. They offered, and I said, no, this is a nonpartisan election.
Huh. I'm a little confused by that because it's a nonpartisan election. If they're, I would say this even if the Republicans help.
No, right. But
if somebody wants to support a candidate, they want to support a candidate.
No, and we did, and this is not new. The precedent has been set at least two and probably three election cycles ago in the nonpartisan Henderson County School Board.
Right.
Where
absolutely
Republicans started holding forums to invite only Republican candidates.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And then would choose and endorse when there were more Republican candidates than there were seats, would endorse the Republicans. And this was only Republicans. And this is by far a majority Republican county because that's a countywide race. So
yeah.
They would pick two of those Republican candidates, Republican only, to endorse for the school board.
Right.
As the story says with Jeff Miller commenting, like it's he's saddened by it, but not surprised by it.
Right. So back to the story again. You can pick up your Lightning and find out about those unfinished projects that Carriker is talking about, what he's disappointed in.
Well, it includes, and the front page picture has him obviously in a foul photo a while ago because he's in shirt sleeves.
Yeah.
At the Gray Hosiery Mill. When there was some thought that maybe the city ought to just throw in the towel and bulldoze a place and improve it for parking or make it available for some other sort of development. He always stuck with, let's try one more time. And they probably said one more time over his, six or seven times. Until finally now we're going to have, sometime next year, we're going to have people living there in apartments. He has been a supporter for the parking, for the downtown hotel / parking deck project. Very strong supporter of 7th Avenue revitalization. A strong supporter, while working with opponents on many of them, of road projects such as the Canuga widening insofar as a part through the city of Hendersonville, and the upcoming really big and will be disruptive when it happens, roundabout Mud Creek Bridge replacement there at the confluence of King Church and Main. As Transportation Advisory Committee member and a member of the French Broad MPO, which coordinates transportation projects in Western North Carolina, he was heavily involved in that. He also served on the Fireman's Relief Fund, the historic 7th Avenue District Advisory Committee, and that I mentioned before, that joint Water and Sewer Advisory Committee that tried to balance the interest of the city of Hendersonville and Henderson County and all the municipalities.
Right.
So really the point is a lot of experience lost there, and others will have to pick up and gain, not only sit in the meetings, but gain a wealth of knowledge about a lot of topics.
Sure, absolutely. Let's stay on the front page, and let's stay in politics somewhat. Rick Wood, long time teacher, coach, great coach, author. Ran for state politics.
Yep.
And has been on our school board. He has announced his retirement.
He has indeed, and he is all those things. A long time, successful. I think he's got a total of more than 40 years of Well, he says he talks about wanting to spend more time with his wife, Beverly, also a retired teacher.
Right.
And says, and, you know, it hadn't been that easy being a coach's wife for 40 years and a school board member's wife for 12 years. And he'd like to slow down a little bit. He says he won't completely stop his civic involvement, but slow down a bit and spend more time with her, maybe travel more. But you're exactly right. Very successful coach at West Henderson High School and a popular teacher there as well. He's been a real active school board member. One of the things he says in the story is that he recommends that if someone wants to run for the school board and as they're serving on the school board, he thinks the highest priority should be that the benefit of the school children should always be their number one priority in everything they do. Is it good for education of the children? And two, they should be a team player. And three, they should be reliable. And he lived that last one because in his going on 12 years on the school board, he's never missed a school board meeting or school board committee meeting. And there are lots of them. They go to these school visits all the time, once or twice a month. And there's other ad hoc committees that get formed and so forth. So good luck to Rick Wood. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Rick Wood. That's a year. That election is a year off.
I was going to ask when
his
term is over.
Filing is only two or three weeks off because you've got December filing now with it.
Okay.
We've talked about that before with the new scheduled March primary. You got filing just around the corner for all the offices. It'll be county commission. It'll be school board. It will be the legislative offices, Congress, Council of State, Governor, President.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. 2020 is coming, isn't it?
Oh, it's around the corner.
It is. And guess what else is around the corner? The second half of Lightning Thursday here on WTZQ Radio. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. We'll be back in just a bit.
Fletcher Park Inn, an independent Christian retirement community located on 450 beautiful acres across from Park Ridge Hospital, is the best-kept secret in Hendersonville for retirement living. Not a nursing home, Fletcher Park Inn residents enjoy independent living in spacious villas and apartments. Fletcher Park Inn offers everything you need to remain independent, alcohol and tobacco free. This Christian retirement community welcomes you to visit in person or online at FletcherParkInn.com and see what all the fuss is about. Fletcher Park Inn, now that's retirement living.
Mark, we had so much fun on last year's Q Cruise.
Yes, we did.
We had so much fun on last year's Q Cruise.
I know, we just said that.
Mark, will you work with me here? We had so much fun on last year's Q Cruise.
Oh, how much fun did we have?
We had so much fun on last year's Q Cruise that we're doing it again.
Yes, we are, but this time we're going to the Western Caribbean.
With stops in Cozumel, Belize, Mahogany Bay, and Grand Cayman.
A true carefree Caribbean cruise with Mark and Paige. We'll have private transfer to the Charlotte Airport to fly to Tampa, private transfer to the port, then 7 nights on board.
Yep, and once you get on the bus, you don't have to think about anything. And with Virago Journeys takes care of it all, and we'll be on hand during the cruise for help as well.
Y'all come join us and a bunch of friends on our next carefree Caribbean Q Cruise, March 1st through the 8th.
Call Ann at Virago Journeys, 771-6040, or just go to our website, WTZQ.com, to get more info.
We'll see you on Q Cruise number two.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years, the official sponsor of patio season. CaysonCompaniesInc.com.
And we are back with Lightning Radio here on The Q with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, we were just talking about Rick Wood and the school board. Let's stay on schools on the back page here of Hendersonville Lightning. We have the story regarding, of course, Hendersonville High School getting their renovation done. Part of that is losing that old gym and the 1937 gym, and they're going to commemorate it this weekend.
Yeah, they are. A very, very exciting history. It's a nice old stone building that's really been deemed not functional enough. It couldn't practically and reasonably and affordably be renovated, so it's not going to survive this massive new construction slash renovation project. The new new 1970s Jim Pardue gym is going to survive, and Jim Pardue actually figures in this this celebration coming up on Saturday. And our old friend Patrick Callagher, who we last talked to in any kind of lengthy in depth, was when he had written the book about the Berkeley Spinners, and
that's
quite some time ago. A 1965 graduate of Hendersonville High School who served 8 years in the Air Force and then went on to a career as an accountant in Michigan, has returned home a couple years ago and was sitting in the gym with a also 1965 classmate, Bruce McDonald, and they said, you know, this the old gym next door is not going to survive. Reckon we ought to commemorate it some way. And along with the others, it's going to be Bobby Wilkins and other Bearcat Nation folks, past athletes, coaches that played there, coached there, have some sort of history there. We'll be celebrating this. Let's see the time. It's a drop-in with some. The event is from 1 to 4 p.m. You can drop in and see displays and talk to folks and reminisce and attend at 2 for a little bit of a ceremony. Basketball players will talk about their time, and Patrick Gallagher will talk a bit about he's done a tremendous amount of research. It was a WPA project.
Uh-huh. Boy, there's just something about that Bearcat Nation. There's just something about, you know, it really hit me when we first announced we were doing sports back in 2007. I got an email immediately from somebody from Ohio saying, a 1954 Bearcat graduate, please tell me you're going to put these online so I can hear my Bearcats. It's just amazing. So,
well, there you go. And they'll be able to celebrate the past success of the Bearcats, because Bearcat basketball teams that won state championships played in the old gym in 1948, 1949, 1952 and 1972. Those first three were coached by Ted Carter, and the last one was coached by Jim Pardue, for whom this 1970s gym is named, and which, as I mentioned, will survive. So check that out, Bearcat Nation, or others interested in history. Comes up Saturday.
Very cool. Let's move on to
Clear Creek Road.
Clear Creek Road. Thank you. Let's talk. City OK's 332 homes on Clear Creek Road.
Things are changing. School's changing. Town's growing. And the next thing, if it comes to pass, economy holds, demand holds, is this big 332-home development on either side of Clear Creek Road, really just about almost abutting I-26. So that was approved with a surprisingly small amount of objection from the public just this past Thursday night. So look for that to come to pass over the next two or three years or more.
Why do you think this one went through without much?
I'm not exactly sure if they addressed when they first had a neighborhood compatibility meeting. There was a lot of objections from Carolina Village, from neighboring property owners to a degree. But I think that, I think that last phrase may get to. There's really not even Carolina Village is not a real, well, actually, they are sort of next door, especially the new phase of it. But aside from that, there's not, unlike some of these road projects and other high-density developments, there was not a lot of real close, direct subdivisions that were big that could mobilize through social media and other ways to turn out and oppose it. That's the only thing I can figure. But there'll be a lot of, and the traffic impact analysis does require a fair amount of improvement to Clear Creek Road, with things like turn lanes and center turn lanes and stacking lanes and so forth for this development.
Well, speaking of traffic impact, there's another story here in local news, and that's the NCDOT responding to the city's concerns about roads. Talk about that one, Bill.
Well, we had a story in last week's print issue that these concerns had been raised, and the NCDOT was going to try to work on them, and also the top engineer for NCDOT in Henderson County promised to appear at the Hendersonville City Council meeting, and that did indeed happen. And Lonnie Watkins is the gentleman's name, and he explained, kind of had answers on all of them. One of them is that the lane markings on Church and King, you couldn't even see them. They were just about obliterated from wear and tear. But by the time they got to the meeting, that actually a contractor had finished a job. It's apparently a regular contract that comes up every so many years, and had restriped King and Church. And we have a picture of that here. So that had already happened. You know how you ride on what I call the zigzag when you're riding, you ride past Immaculate Conception Church on going on 64 West?
Yep.
People have been saying that they, because that's dangerous the way you're trying to zigzag through and people can't stay in their lane, that they were recommending those plastic bollards, they're called, you know, those little short poles, you know, 3 foot, 4 foot high poles. And NCDOT really doesn't like that idea, and they have a plan in the works for that, just to market a lot better. So it is a lot clearer with arrows and the lane markings. So they say, let us do that first and see if that solves this a little bit. Also, the people... constituents, motorists, and school people are really saying that we need a stoplight also on US 64, a few blocks west, at either Whitted or Oak Street. And there again, NCDOT says, well, for one thing, you remember our cash crisis, our cash shortage. We don't have any money to do things like that. And you, the city, would have to participate in it. We can't afford to do, we don't have the money to do a traffic analysis of that problem right now. But we'll use your traffic counts, because those cross streets are city streets, and we'll use some of, basically sounded like he was saying, we'll use some old ones we have and just take a look at it and see if it might be warranted. But they still won't do it without then a more in-depth study by a consultant that they'll have to pay to find out if a traffic light is warranted at one of those intersections, and then we might get one.
It's so interesting.
And we might not.
It's so interesting to hear about all the NCDOT work and all that money, and then they're yet somehow they're cash strapped when it comes to something like this. Very interesting. So let me ask you this: those concerns, are those the things that came up during the city council meetings with the community?
Yeah.
Is that what this is?
They are. I'm glad you mentioned that. That the impetus for that whole discussion was they were called council conversations. It was a good. They had a couple rounds of them, and the last round ended only about a month or so ago, and that was where a council member, and it was always one council member at a time, and significantly and importantly with staff members like City Manager John Connett, like Assistant City Manager Brian Polly, and maybe some engineers would also attend and listen, and I'm sure make notes and say, well, yeah, that's a good point. We should do something about that. And so some progress, limited and slow though it may be, has been made on some of those things that came up. And we had, before this, a couple weeks ago, we talked about probably mentioned even more often and emphatically than the conditions of the roads themselves was the behavior of the drivers on the roads and how there's such bad driving. There's so much speeding. There's so much stoplight running. There's so much stop sign running. There's so much ignorance of how to behave at a four-way stop and so forth. That's when the city announced this project, this crackdown on bad driving.
Right.
Watch out. We're going to give out speeding tickets, and we're going to watch for stop sign violations.
I have certainly seen an increased presence of law out there.
Yeah.
I sure have. Ocklawaha Greenway or Greenway, potential new Greenway expansion. First of all, I want to remind folks that news flies fast around here. You can't get it. You can't get every single story every week in the print edition of The Lightning, but you cover it very well on your website. So we got a couple of news stories here that you have on the website. One of those is this potential Greenway expansion.
That's right. On HendersonvilleLightning.com, The Lightning noticed that, hey, there's is an interesting report and study that the county is coming up next week that the county commission is going to take up. And we've known about this for a while. Back in February, I think it was, the Board of County Commission, they had a $96,000 grant from the Federal Highway Administration. And they hired an Asheville-based planning and design company called Equinox to analyze extension of the Ocklawaha Greenway, which we now know runs from Jackson Park to Berkeley Mills Park, and could be extended north as far as Westfelt Park and a future Koontz Park across the French Broad River, and south as far as first to Blue Ridge Community College and possibly on to the park at Flat Rock, which was supposed to have a paved green way through it, and that's now in jeopardy, of course,
right,
because of last week's Flat Rock election. But we took a look at what was in the consultant report, and they repeatedly and very emphatically say it will only go through land where of willing property owners, or a big thing was it will go through places that can't be developed anyway, such as wetlands, sewer easements, existing parkland, and other property that, for whatever reason, maybe or property, say, that's already been bought and preserved by Carolina Conservancy.
Okay.
Conserving Carolina
right.
is the name of that land conservancy, I meant to say.
Right.
And it was interesting, too, that they had a lot of stakeholder meetings. Stakeholders include things like Duke Power, of course, the Greenway Master Plan Advisory Committee, the Parks and Rec Board, Transportation Advisory Committee, BRCC, Friends of Ocklawaha Greenway, Conserving Carolina, as we mentioned, the Cooperative Extension Service, of course, Hendersonville, Mills River, Village of Flat Rock, Town of Fletcher, the Hendersonville Airport. And from that, from those stakeholders, they heard some interesting points. Scenery matters, stakeholders said. Locate the greenway along streams and creeks, even if putting it on a road would be easier. And nobody really wants a greenway on a road
right.
if you can avoid it, because that's just that doesn't seem as safe as a separate greenway going along the French Broad River
uh-huh.
or going along a scenic area like Mud Creek or through some nice land. Connect schools, affordable housing, and retail, commercial, restaurant, dining areas. Because much of the greenway would be in a floodplain, it should be designed so it drains easily and could be cleaned up. That's a problem we have with the existing Ocklawaha.
Right, right.
It gets covered in water, then it's covered in mud, then it's covered in silt before it's finally cleaned out, and it's not cleaned out quickly enough, in the opinion of a lot of greenway users. Use the county's many nonprofits to reach out to landowners to advocate for the trail and raise money for the trail. And consider broader connections eventually down the road, including Buncombe County, which has a more advanced greenway plan than Henderson County does at this point. So look for more on that when we cover the county commission meeting next week, where the county commissioners will react to this. And we'll see if they give it the green light to go forward or what's the outcome of that.
Okay. Bill, we cannot finish Hendersonville Lightning today without mentioning another story that's on HendersonvilleLightning.com. Downtown Hendersonville is flush with pride.
It is flush with pride, and they're going to publicly flush with pride at a ribbon-cutting event at 4:30 on Monday afternoon. Not this coming Monday. I guess that's a week from Monday. November 25.
Monday before Thanksgiving.
But it will be before Thanksgiving. It will be, and it will be before Black Friday, and it will be before Small Business Saturday.
Exactly.
Very important. So what we're talking about is the new public restrooms there at 125 Fifth Avenue West. They're sporty. They're almost ready to go. And we will have a celebration of the first flush of the new downtown amenity at that time.
So now we'll have public bathrooms on that end of Main Street and public restrooms at the at the tourism office.
Yeah, visitor center.
The visitor center, yeah, on the other end.
Been badly needed. So it's really for a long, long time, this has been, we talked about priorities a while ago and city projects. This one has been in the everybody's wish list or big need for a long time.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we've just touched on what's in this week's Lightning and what's on HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, where can folks get their copy of this week's Lightning to get behind the headlines?
Well, all around the county, they can visit any of our racks to buy a copy or certainly join, as lots of people are, the new All Access, Digital Access, which gives you access to HendersonvilleLightning.com. And you can get a print issue as well when you sign up for that by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe. Or they can call Jan at 698-0407 or come see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.